Good morning, I'm Celeste Headlee here with John Hockenberry. Well, the memoir of late Senator Ted Kennedy wasn't due to be released until later this month, but it has been leaked. The book's called True Compass. It has new revelations about Kennedy's feelings after Chappaquiddick and his relationships with his brothers Robert and John F. Kennedy. It's due to hit stores, like I said, on September 14th, but Adam Nagorny and our partner, the New York Times, was one of the reporters who began reading a leaked copy of the book yesterday afternoon. Adam, you had some fast reading to do.
Yeah, that's right. There were four of us, John Broder and Carl Holtz, leading the way, reading about, I guess, 550 pages, and it felt like a half an hour.
So which part were you responsible for reading? Which part of his life did you end up covering?
I ended up reading a decent amount of it, but the parts that I read were the parts around Vietnam, and also the parts when he was senator under Clinton and also senator under Reagan. The most interesting part, and then I read over some of the other stuff, I think clearly the most interesting parts or the most newsworthy parts were what he said about Chappaquiddick. I think that's what you're going to see most of the discussion of the book focused on. He, there's some nuance here compared to what he said when this happened, whatever, 30 years ago, 40 years ago?
Sure, 40, yeah. I mean, this is really an attempt to get the last word on something that Teddy Kennedy has consistently not addressed in virtually all
That's
of his
right.
political
he hasn't
life.
Said much about it.
That's right. And what he says, let me see if I can summarize this right, without being value judgmental or anything. What he basically says is this. He said he did not have a romantic relationship with Mary Jo Kopechne. He said, you know, I'm assuming the listeners know the basic outlines of the story, that they basically met that night. I think that he says, at least implicitly, that in fact they had been drinking. They had been at this party with six or eight people on the Chappaquiddick, and that he began driving her back. And he said he started driving her back because she wanted to go home and they were bored with the party. And, you know, assuming they'd been drinking, he drove off a bridge. And he said what happened after that was a moment of, I think he would fairly say, a combination of panic and I think a period in which he feels very remorseful.
He called it inexcusable, his actions.
Inexcusable, right? And he raises the prospect of the delay in reporting it to the police, because there was a seven-hour delay, was in part because of political reasons. And also he said he was traumatized. He knew what it would do to his family. He knew what it would do to her family. But I think, you know, he was extremely upset and did not remotely present himself as the victim here, and said that she was the victim, and expressed remorse that because of his own reputation as a womanizer at the time, that the public assumed that she was also part of that circle and that he wasn't, which struck me as really kind of striking. And people have to read it on their own and decide whether or not they accept it, but it seems like a pretty, you know, strong argument.
Well, it is certainly the most that he said on this subject, but, you know, not to make any excuses for Senator Ted Kennedy, it seems to me that this folds into a larger theme in the book, and that is the difficulty of being a Kennedy, and not only that, the difficulty of being Teddy Kennedy after Jack and Bobby.
That's a great, great point. Yes. And in fact, especially the second part of what you said, it's not just being a Kennedy, which of course is tough. I mean, it's tough being part of a, you know, basically what this country has had closest to a royal family. But to be this brother after watching your two brothers die, and what struck me, and I guess I've heard him say this at times or in some interviews, but when he talked about how nervous he would get when he'd be walking along and heard a car backfire, right? And there's one anecdote where he talks about, I don't remember the year because we read the thing in 2 minutes, right, where he literally jumped to the ground because a car backfired or a firecracker went off. This is a guy who was constantly afraid of getting assassinated, and that's not an irrational thing. And I think that's one of the reasons why, and I don't mean to play psychoanalyst here, that he was so ambivalent about running for president in 1980. As you recall, that's when he ran for president in a fairly disastrous campaign against Jimmy Carter in the Democratic primary and lost. I think that he understood what happened to his brother, that he felt very demoralized about politics. He talks about that a bit in the book, too. So it is very tough being the third Kennedy, especially the third Kennedy in public office, you know, especially considering what happened to his brothers.
Adam Nagorny, reporter for The New York Times. It seems to me that it's not so much that we get new information. You know, I haven't obviously read the book, but from what I've seen, we don't actually get details, new details out of here. But what we're seeing is he's admitting to some of his psychological journey. He talks about his father sponsoring a lot of competition between the brothers and what effect that had on him. He talked about falling apart and falling into heavy, heavy drinking after the assassination of Robert and his other brothers and what that effect that had on his family. And he takes responsibility, it sounds like, for his actions, his choices, and what they did to the rest of his family.
You know, the one thing I cannot tell you is basically what you just said. How much of this really breaks new ground? Like in terms of what we do in this business, how much is NEW news? And I think we need to defer to biographers like Adam Clymer and people who have written about him for that. But your point is right. I think that you get a sense of a texture of the guy, who he is, a personal sort of view of like this sort of struggle, and also this sort of sense of remorse and also accomplishment over his years. I mean, I read this in a very weird way. I mean, you get chunks of chapters and you read them out of order, and then you go back and read some stuff. And I didn't read the whole book yet, but I.
Well, Adam, you said you were responsible for the Reagan years, which raises a question to me. Does he explain how? I mean, because those were the years where he really got the fire in the belly and became the left legislator leader of the Democratic Party. Does he talk about that?
Yes, there was an anger towards Reagan that was visceral and striking, and I think that really sort of positioned him. And also at the same time, he expresses frustrations with what he describes as people who he thought were the left of his party, who moved to the center in response to what they saw as the Reagan tide. I mean, people who like voted for the Reagan cuts in spending and the Reagan tax cuts. And I don't want to say he had contempt for him, but he clearly did not like Reagan at all. He talked about at one point getting called into the Oval Office with about 10 other senators and, I guess, members of Congress to talk about, I believe it was dairy tariffs. Shoe textile tariffs. And Reagan brought them in there. They were told they would have a half an hour tops. And Reagan sits there and looks at Kennedy's shoes and goes, "Those are Bostonians, aren't they?" And Kennedy looks at them and he's thinking to himself, "I didn't look at what my shoes were when I put them on this morning." So he's like, "I don't really know what they are, Mr. President." But then for the next 20 minutes, Reagan talked about those shoes and other people's shoes in the meeting, and how he used to sell shoes for his father, because remember, his father was a shoe salesman in, I think, Illinois. And all of a sudden, 20 minutes were by, and all of a sudden, half an hour was by, and they never got a chance to address.
They just talked about shoes.
Yeah, and I want to be clear. I do not think that Kennedy was saying that Reagan wasn't smart. You know, I know that's one of the raps that some people have on Reagan. I don't think he was saying that at all.
He got to dig in there.
He outmaneuvered these guys, and I think he was angry. So you're right. I think it brought a certain level of indignation and anger and focus to his left liberal sort of agenda.
Okay. Adam Nagorny is a reporter for the New York Times. Thanks so much for talking to us this morning. Let's check in now on today's top news stories.